Aloha, this is Wayne Cadera with the Word for the Week. Hey, this week we're in Jeremiah 13 through 49 and some of the Psalms, John 15 through 21, and we're going to take a sneak peek at 1 John. But first, let me rewind the tape with you and go to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah 13 through 49 is going to give basically the story of Zedekiah. It's going to be the end of Judah. They're going to go into the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. They were actually under siege from 597 BC all the way to 586. Zedekiah was a son of Jeconiah. His actual name was Mattanyahu, but Nebuchadnezzar II appointed him to be the next king under occupation. During this time, 597 and onward, he changed his name from Mattanyahu to Zedekiah. But he was under the occupation of the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar II. Now, prior to this time, there were two superpowers other than Judah. It was Assyria to the north, Egypt to the south. But some years before, in 712 BC, a new kingdom arises, the Babylonians. And in 712 BC, the Babylonians actually overtake Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrians. You remember Jonah and Nineveh? That was an Assyrian capital. But they are destroyed by the Babylonians, and now you have Babylon up at the north and Egypt at the south. Now, during this time of Zedekiah, they were under occupation of the Babylonians, and Jeremiah prophesies and says, hey, listen, just live under the Babylonians for now, because if you try to rebel, it's going to be bad for you. And this was in Jeremiah 32. But instead, Zedekiah makes an alliance with Egypt. Now, this whole thing, this whole story of Zedekiah is found in four different books, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All four of them talk about this era that's so important because it turns the tide of all that takes place in the history of Israel. My goodness. Well, he and Egypt try to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had enough. He sends down warriors. They come and just destroy Jerusalem under one of his generals, Nabuzaradan. Now, in the midst of all of this, Zedekiah tries to escape. He's captured in his escape, taken to Rimla, which is a place where the Babylonians had sort of set up as their epicenter of military aggression. And they, before Zedekiah's eyes, they kill his sons. And then directly after, this is found in Jeremiah 39, they blind him. Now, this fulfills a couple of prophecies, because then he's taken in chains to Babylon, and he never sees Babylon. Interestingly, there's two prophecies that says, one, Zedekiah, you're going to go to Babylon. And then another prophecy that says, you won't see Babylon. Now, at first reading, it seems like that's in the opposite. They contradict one another. But when you get to know about what happens with Zedekiah, he does go to Babylon, but he's blind. Now, let me give you an interesting side note on this. The Mormon book, the Book of Mormon, talks about, and this could make another Da Vinci Code movie, but they say that one of Zedekiah's sons secretly escapes, a son named Mulek. And then he escapes and goes to America, one of three migrations, and starts a colony there. And that's where the Mormon belief system comes from. But one of the three migrations to America was by a son who, I guess, escaped all of this secretly and went to America. Interesting. Just a side note. Well, take a look at Jeremiah 15:19, talking about the importance of extracting the precious from the worthless. If you know how to do that, you'll be God's spokesman. And then the classic chapter of Jeremiah 18, the potter and the clay, and oh, Jeremiah's sadness in Jeremiah 20, where he's saddled with this assignment to talk to Zedekiah, and yet Zedekiah will not listen. Oh, he mourns even the day of his birth. And then some Psalms. You'll have a great taste of the Psalms. And then John. Now, some people ask me, Wayne, why are there four Gospels instead of just one? Well, you know, if I wanted to describe you accurately, I wouldn't just ask a friend. If you're married, I would ask your spouse. Then I'd ask a friend about you. Then I'd ask maybe an employer and maybe your parent or brother and or sister or sibling. And so what I would do is I would get four or five different viewpoints of you, a singular person. And instead of just getting a definition or a description of you from one, I'd get it from multiple amounts of people. The Gospels just like that. There are four different writers that describe the same person, Jesus Christ. Matthew is trying to take the gospel to be understood by the Jews. So you'll see the genealogies there, all of the rules and regulations, and it talks about how Jesus fulfills everything of the law. And his pedigree is then recorded and documented. Mark is a gospel according to sort of trying to reach the Romans. So you'll see that it is the most succinct, it is the briefest of all, the Gospels, and you'll see again and again the words straight away, or immediately he left his boat, and immediately he brought in the nets. Everything is succinct, very strong, disciplined. And Luke was written to show Jesus to the Greeks with the Greek mind, the more academic mind, the more intellectual mind. And then John, that we'll be in, is from the Gentiles' perspective. You'll find Jesus there as a God of grace, who is a shepherd, who is a friend, someone who reaches out, someone who has great mercy and compassion for those who have strayed. So you'll have four different writers describing Jesus from different facets. And this week will be in John. It'll be a wonderful week of devotions. This morning, as I was going through Jeremiah, I was again blessed and again reminded of how gracious a God we serve. Well, I'll be doing devotions with you this week. So God bless you. Let's do it together as we sit at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.